it's good to be with you this morning. I come all the way from Chilliwack to be with you this morning, and boy, I'd rather be here than Chilliwack today. My name is Jeremy. I work with Compassion Canada. It's my just immense pleasure to represent the Ministry of Compassion for so many reasons, and I've been looking forward to this day for a while. There's not a lot of churches in Canada that have become such amazing partners with Compassion the way that Saanich Baptist has, and we are just so grateful for the way that your church has bought in and shared this ministry with us, and so it's really exciting. I always look forward to being here. I always try to plan my visits to Victoria for the springtime because there's really nothing like Victoria in the spring. So one of the things about Compassion that I just love is how much of an impact I know that it's making on individual children's lives around the world, and I've been able to see that up front personally. But what we find is that sometimes it's hard to really convey what kind of an impact you're having. And I know lots of you in this room are sponsoring kids with us, and that's fantastic. And so we want to thank you for that. If you're not, that's okay, but we can fix that for you today. But in all seriousness, it's really hard. In fact, as much as I try to convey how meaningful this is for the kids who are part of this, I don't think I've found a way to really convey it. And so it's almost impossible for us to overstate the impact that you're having. So this morning, we want to say thank you, first of all, for how many children's lives are being transformed because of people in this room. And as part of what we're doing, I want to introduce a friend of mine who's here. Her name is Kiwi. She's going to tell you some of her story and how Compassion intersected with her life. So I would love it if you could give a really big welcome to Kiwi right now.
Thank you so much. How are you guys? You know, it's my first time here in Victoria, and it's so amazing. It's very pretty, especially on the spring. You're right, Jeremy. So yesterday, I arrived, Victoria, and your very good pastor brought us to the beach house and ate a very good meal. And as I was sitting there, in my mind, I was saying, if you would have asked me 30 years ago if this is possible, sitting with your pastor, overlooking the beach in a nice restaurant, that if it's possible, I would say, maybe it's not possible. But you know what? My message today is saying, humanly, it's impossible, but with God, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Luke 18:27 said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. All of you are all smiles. All of you are believing it. You know, my real name is not Kiwi, though it might sound cute and sounds like very unique, but my real name is Kiwani. It sounds Hawaiian, but I'm not from Hawaii, though I look like a Hawaiian. But I was born and raised in the Philippines to a very poor family. My dad is an alcoholic, and every night my parents would fight because of my dad's alcoholism. There are three brothers ahead of me that died because of lack of medical attention. My third brother, he was supposed to be born cesarean section, but my parents could not afford the medical care necessary. So what they did, they cut my mom open without proper anesthesia, and my mom screamed for pain, but my brother didn't survive. But after that, I was born in another sister. We are our parents' first miracle. But as a young child, growing up is not very, very easy. It was hard. I would remember me and my sister, we would beg our parents, Ma, Pa, please. We could not sleep because we were so hungry. But even my parents would give up the food that they're about to eat that night, which is most of the time rice and soy sauce or rice and salt, it would still be not sufficient. I remember I would peek at my neighbor's window and pretend to watch the television, but I would look at their table and see food and wonder, why do they have food to eat and us not? And I remember when apples were imported from America to the Philippines, me and my sister, we would beg our parents, Ma, Pa, please, I want to taste this apple. But even a rotten apple, we could not afford to buy. But you know what? This is not a sad story, because we have a good Father in heaven. Because one day, my dad, who was an alcoholic, picked up a tract, a reading material about Jesus in his workplace. And in that material, it says to go to a crusade. And he went to a crusade. And in that crusade, my dad received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And for the very first time, my dad went home sober. when everybody said, no, he's impossible to, you know, to be sober. He's going to die an alcoholic. But with God, nothing is impossible. And my mom was saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you sober tonight? Are you sick? What's wrong? And my dad said, no, nothing is wrong. I just received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so you need to come to church with me. So he brought us to church, and me and my sister, we would sit in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, they would sing about Jesus, that Jesus loves the little children, all the children in the world, red, yellow, black, and white, all the children in his sight, that Jesus cares, that Jesus provides. But as a young kid, I could not comprehend that. Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? If he cares and he provides, why are we so poor? But you know, we have a good, good Father in heaven. Because at the age of 7, somebody from Australia picked up a packet and he started to sponsor me. The very first thing in his letter, he said, Kiwi, you are pretty, and Kiwi, Jesus loves you. I have never thought of myself as pretty when I was a kid. I thought pretty are just for kids with nice clothes, bows in their hair, who goes to school. But me, that's not me. But I begin to realize, Lord, is this how you see me? That I'm beautiful and precious in your sight. That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That I am the child of the Most High God. So I begin to go to the Compassion Project in our church. And I would sit there and listen to my teacher. And my teacher said, Kiwi, this might be your situation, but this is not your destiny. For in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In the following verses, it says, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. So I begin to open my Bible. I begin to read verses and memorize it. And I begin to claim the promises of God in my life. At the age of 9, my parents decided to go to the capital of the Philippines, which is Manila. And then I thought about my sponsors. Lord, if I move, then how are they going to support me? But you know what? Our God is not bound by space, time, or distance. Because when we moved to Manila, there's a church there who sponsors Compassion. And my sponsorship just continues. And my sponsors wrote to me. I thought, going to Manila, our lives are going to be improved. Our lives are going to drastically change. But oh boy, I was wrong. One day, I woke up with our bed floating in flood water because it has rained a lot that night. But you know what? Even our situation didn't change, but the condition of our heart did, knowing that God has a plan for us. So when I was in high school, I told my mama, Ma, I want to get out of this situation. I don't want to be poor anymore. I want to get out of this how we live. My mama said, you know, just pray because God will provide. Over and over again, she said, God will provide. And you know what? God did provide. This lady who is standing in front of you right now is a physical therapist working in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. We have a good God in heaven. You know, after college, I need to take a very difficult exam. And there's like some of young people here and that are scared of exams, scared of the unknown, scared of failing. But every time I open my Bible, God would tell me, Kiwi, is there anything too hard for me? Nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord. All of my promises for you are yes and amen. So I took the exam. Out of 1,700 students who took the exam, I landed 10th place. And because of that, they gave me a medal. And as I was receiving this medal, I told the Lord, Lord, if only my sponsors were here, I'm going to give this medal to them. Because of them, this is a reality. You know, every year in our church, we have a prayer and fasting. And usually I don't join because I was hungry when I was a kid. But that year I said, I'm going to join. And I prayed for that I'm going to see my sponsors. February came, March came, and April came. A bunch of Australian sponsors came to the Philippines and they asked me to give my testimony. And after I did, they said, Kiwi, we want to invite you to Australia. And there I met my sponsors. And I saw them walking up the stage and I ran to them and hugged them. And over again, I told them, thank you so much. I think I have a picture for you. I told them, you changed my life, and not just my life, but my family, and one day I know my community, because my mom is now a leader in a small community church in the Philippines. God is so, so good. We have a good God in heaven. 9 years ago, I told the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have a job after graduation as a physical therapist in the Philippines. Lord, this Sunday, the word of the pastor is going to be your specific word for me. And the word was for Abraham. Go out of your country. Go to the land that I will show you and you will be a blessing. And I said, how am I going to do that? I don't have money to go out of my country. Lord, if this is your will, this is your bill. You're going to pay for everything. You're going to provide for everything. I went online and applied for a job as a physical therapist in Georgia, in Dalton, Georgia. And my company said, Kiwi, we want you to come over to the United States, and we are going to pay for everything. We're going to even give you $1,000 as a sign-on bonus to come to the United States. God is so amazing. He just didn't know, like, our needs, but he knows how to give it to us. You know, 7 years ago, I got married to a wonderful man from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yes, I got myself a Southern boy. And my husband's name is Terry Cook. And you know what? He's an executive chef in Dallas, Texas. Imagine, I was hungry when I was a kid. Now I'm married to an executive chef. I would never go hungry. You know where I took my parents, because I invited my parents to come over for the wedding. You know where I took them? I think I have a picture for you. I took my parents to an apple orchard. And my dad was picking up apples from the ground. And I said, no, Dad, God has blessed us far and beyond we could ever ask or think, exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think, that we're now able to pick up apples from the tree. God withheld that rotten apples years and years ago because he has something better for us. We're just celebrating and just thanking God because of his goodness at that apple orchard. God is just so, so good. You know, I'm going to share to you 5 things to see beyond the impossible things in life. And this I applied in my life as well. The first one is to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He said in his word, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. I will be near you. He's not a God who is trying to hide himself from us. But if you seek him, he's there. You know what? Sometimes, I don't know if you're guilty of this, but sometimes I do this. I write down my plans, and I told the Lord, Lord, can you approve this? Can you make it happen? But even before we plan for our life, it says in Jeremiah, he knows the plans that he has for us. He knows it. So we need to come to him first and ask. Seek him. And the number 2 is to believe in God. You know what's a vital thing that we have, that we need to have to unlock what God has in store for us? You know what it is? It's faith. Faith. Have faith. Believe in God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe first that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Romans 10 says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, the good news about Christ. So don't miss Pastor Steve every Sunday here, because faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Matthew 17:20, I love this verse. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell your mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. If you're facing a mountain in your life today, have faith and tell that mountain, move, and it will move. It says in Matthew 21, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. Number three, I think, will change the trajectory of your life. Number three is to obey. Sometimes we thought of God, just of Jesus, just as a savior. But God is both a savior and Lord that we must obey his commands. It says in John 10, my sheep knows me, they hear my voice, and they follow me. Obedience can change the trajectory of your life. Every command that God has given us has a corresponding promise. It's not only here just to make our lives, hard or difficult, but the commands of God is our guardrails, is our guard in our lives. So we need to obey him. You know, I love Psalm 112. It says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere, and an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their deeds will last forever. You know, because we're in a church, if somebody asks you, who's the driver of your life? Of course, all of us will say it's God, the driver of our lives. But sometimes, here we are, the backseat driver, telling the Lord, hurry up, stop. Why don't we take the shortcut? Turn right. Well, wives know this. We love to be the backseat drivers. But if we say that we obey the Lord, we need to give him full control. Number four is one of my favorite, is to ask. God said, we have not because we ask not. God expects us to ask in Jesus' name. John 16 says that whatsoever you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Sometimes we're scared to ask because we have been disappointed before. Sometimes we're scared to ask because we don't really know if God will give it to us. And sometimes we're scared to ask because we already know what we want for the reply. But God, his ways are not our ways and his plans are not our plans. But God wants us to ask. You know, the key for asking, the key is to ask according to his will. And how would we know what his will is? We have to seek him. We have to seek the Lord. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Number five is to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. You know, the atmosphere changes if we give thanks to the Lord. I'm going to give you an example. Monday morning, you drive to your work and you're very late. And you're stuck in the interstate because there's an accident. And somebody cuts you off. And you're about to say something that you're not supposed to say in church. But then you paused. You paused and it said, you know what? This is not going to defeat me. You know what? I'm going to thank the Lord today. Lord, thank you because I am safe in this car. Lord, thank you because I even have this car. And Lord, thank you because I am going to reach my destination. Didn't that change your perspective? Didn't that change the atmosphere in your car if you pause and just thank the Lord? You know, it's not hard to thank God in this beautiful place. You just look out of your car and see the flowers, see the trees, see the mountains. And it's not hard to say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 100, 4 and 5 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him for his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. You know what? God has blessed us a lot. God has blessed me a lot. I know he did that not just to keep it to myself. He blessed me because He wants me to be a blessing to others. Pastor Steve shared to me a while ago to live 6-8, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the needy, to the poor, and to those who needs us. You know, I believe that God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. So now I am a sponsor of 3 kids. 2 kids from the Philippines, because of course I'm biased, and 1 from Haiti. I think I have a picture for you. And 3 years ago, I went back home to the Philippines and met my sponsored children. And I told them, hang in there, do not give up. If God can do it to me, He can do it to you and through you. That's a word for you too today. Do not give up. What you're going through, the good news is you're not going to get stuck. You are going through that problem. One day, God will give you an avenue. God will give you a platform to tell your friends, to tell your neighbor, to tell a congregation here in Victoria that we have a good, good Father in heaven. You know, I would never forget what the former CEO of Compassion in the United States told us when we are about to graduate from the program. He said, to never be ashamed of your roots in poverty, you hold your heads high. You may have been born in poverty, but poverty was not born in you. No matter how high God lets you climb, never forget to be grateful and never forget to reach back and bring others along with you. And one by one, as we do that, we will change the entire world. You know, I know that there's a lot of you as sponsoring kids in this church. You may not see your sponsored kids, but on behalf of them, I would like to say thank you so much for what you're doing. You just don't have any idea how thankful they are. You just don't have any idea how much you are changing their lives. And for you who are thinking about sponsorship, if this is what God wants you to do, we're ready for you. We have a table back there. And it's just so easy to sponsor a child, to encourage. I always tell myself, this is God saying of discipleship, to preach the gospel, to go out to the nations. We may not be flying to their nation, but this is one way to tell them about Jesus, to tell them that there's a God who loves them. You know what? To God be all the glory and honor and praises forever and ever. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. Can we all stand up? And I just want to lead you into a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a message of hope, of love, and of compassion, Lord. Lord, we just want to pray for all the kids who are needing support, who are needing compassion, who are needing mercy all over the world, Father God. I know, Lord, that your eyes are not shut and you saw each and every one of them, Father God, that you care for those children, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Father God, wherever they are, to embrace them, to let them know that you are real, to let them know that you are the God who sees everything, that you are God who hears them when they call for help, and that you are God who has a plan for each and every one of us. We give you all the glory and honor and praise to you, Father, and only to you. Your name will be glorified. Lord, thank you so much. We bless you. In your mighty name, this we pray. Amen.